Today, the city of Minneapolis upgraded the homicide charges against a policeman and levied charges against three other officers. It's not clear what impact that will have on the protests across the country for the death of George Floyd. The protests are the subject of our ongoing segment, The Long View. Contributing political analyst Neil Milner joins us this morning. Hi there.
Hi.
So, yeah, lots unfolding with this.
Yeah, and for sure, the charges came down today for the other three with a rather peculiar accompanying statement by the Attorney General of the state of Minnesota, who cautioned the people how hard it is to make these charges stick. One, there's nobody in that protest that doesn't know that, if you pay any attention to how hard it is to make them stick. But two, that's not, to me, a very smart way to announce charges when people are so upset about the injustice. And it's really not the job of an attorney general to say how hard a job he or she's going to have in making the case. But that's where we stand right now as far as the Minneapolis cases. But, of course, this has gone far beyond that. This was just a very graphic, precipitating incident where you could clearly see the police officer kill the other, kill someone with three others sitting around watching. But it's, as I say, it's far beyond that.
Yeah, I mean, it was distressing to see the video because bystanders were saying, hey, do you need to, you know, be on his neck like that? Give him a break. He's, you know, he's not moving. So a little distressing.
Yeah, well, a little distressing, and it follows a pattern that it's very clear nationally that blacks get killed in these kind of situations disproportionately compared to whites. And the recent statistics on Minneapolis is that the Minneapolis Police Department uses violence against blacks 3 to 4 times more than it does against whites. And so with a population of 20% of the population of Minneapolis is African-American, and 60% of the use of police violence is against African-Americans.
And it's just amazing to see just the response in so many cities, you know, to see how it's escalated with the looting. And it's hurt so many people.
It is and it isn't. But this follows a pattern that we've certainly seen all of my adult life whenever there's riots, that there's a precipitating incident. There's something else going on that brings people to the streets. It usually has to do with racism. There's looting involved. People complain about the looting. There's some killings that get involved more by the police and or the National Guard, at least historically, than by anybody else. And if you want to see what these things are about, all you have to do is to go back to read the Kerner Commission report, which was the 1968 report on the urban riots that took place in 1967, and actually before the killing of Martin Luther King, which followed this. And they essentially said a few things that people should keep in mind now, one of which is that protest is very much a part of our politics. Second, that there is a myth of peaceful progress in the way we understand history. If you look closely at history, protest and violence have often been a part of it, and sometimes they've been successful. The third thing is that, as the Kerner Commission tried to get people to understand, this is about institutional racism. This is not about one person getting killed. It's not about prejudice. It's about white institutions creating, including the government, of course, creating a situation in which racism has not only existed for 315 years, but it's been reinforced by all kinds of policies. That's the nub here. There are two things that are going to make this very difficult. I mean, we'll come out of this. The riots will dissipate. The looting will stop. But there are two things that have to come out of this, one of which is to get more people to get serious about what institutional racism means, as opposed to just, and I shouldn't say just because it's important, it's really important to figure out better ways to train and deal with police departments. That's just a little problem here. The bigger problem is getting people to start thinking in ways that are a little different. And second, to understand how that implicates much of what American society is like in regard to race. Before I go on too much more, let me just mention a study that was done in Milwaukee that looked at the way the U.S. government and real estate had essentially redlined cities, Milwaukee, in the 1930s, that essentially said, we're not going to give any federal money to black people if they try to move into this neighborhood. That is, they won't get they can't get the loans to move into that neighborhood, and they can't get, because we don't want to have mixed neighborhoods. This is the government talking. And second, that you can't get money to renovate the house that you own in the inner city, because that's blightful. If you look at where that was, and you then overlay those things on today's crime and lack of wealth and all those bad things, they fit almost exactly. And so you see this pattern, and people have to start thinking about it. So there's a lot to understand about this riot. The riot is, and the looting, and they're not all the same. This is very different from the protest we had about the 30-meter telescope. But there's this overall context, historical context, that's hard to understand. The president is the last person in the world who's going to understand this or care about it. But for well-meaning people to begin to try to wrestle with this in a way that's more successful than it has been in the past, that's the challenge.
Yeah, and I think, you know, you have to stop and think when we hear that phrase, "I can't breathe," because we heard it before.
Yeah.
In another death of a black man. You know, we saw the Rodney King riots. You just kind of go back, and then you see, you know, the images on TV with the police response. And you're going, oh my goodness, you know, the police brutality. You know, I said earlier watching that first video that, you know, it's a little distressing. It's a lot distressing, really.
Oh, yeah.
It's you know, where he's calling out for his mother. And like I said, bystanders are saying, this is not right. Get off his neck.
And part of this is about moving away even further from the rotten apple idea. That is, the idea that it's just a rotten apple who's doing this. Not all police officers are bad, but there's clearly something in the police culture in most cities that makes them react to a certain disproportionately violent and suspicious way to blacks. And if you don't think so, just start reading the anecdotes of some of your favorite sports and entertainment people about how they've gone through that. That said, there are things that you can do to train departments to be better. There are certain things, and you can. It's a well-known, established fact that one of the worst things you can do in these kinds of situations is to escalate immediately. That is to wear the riot things, to go in and attack people and all those things. There's 50 years of research that says that doesn't work very well.
Right.
Yeah.
We are seeing, you know, the president's hard line, right, dominate.
Yeah, well, he's not real good on looking at evidence of any kind about anything. But on this one, if you want to see a case study of how escalation makes things worse, just look what happened when the police attacked peaceful protesters so that the president could walk to the church. It just escalated everything. More people came back the next day. Now, I want to say this. It's hard to de-escalate. I mean, it's amazing how many police departments have done things here that they never would have done. I mean, good things in 1968, one of which is that they don't start highly militarized. They, you know, a lot of them didn't even have shields and things at first. The other thing is the notion that police would kneel down in respect, which they've done in a number of cities, and say, we think this guy, you know, this police officer in Minneapolis or the former are awful. That's new. But I've watched some of the demonstrations, some videos, the ones in Brooklyn. They're very fluid. It isn't like the cops. It isn't like they're planned a lot in advance, which
right.
is how and that the police meet with the protesters in advance and say, these are the ground rules, what do you think? These are much more fluid than that.
Yeah, it's a fascinating thing that we're seeing. We are running out of time. I do want to thank you, though, for bringing this up as we kind of hope things calm down. Thanks so much.
Okay.
That was political analyst Neil Milner with our long view as we reflect on the protests of the past.